One thing that's true for all moms, we have a lot of stories to tell. Some are silly, some are gross, some bring us to tears. With each story that's shared, another mom feels a little less alone. So join us as we laugh, learn, and grow together. It's the iMom Podcast. Welcome to this week's episode of the iMom Podcast. I'm Abby with Chloe and Susan and Megan. No two moms are the same. We don't have the same kids, the same husband, the same life, but we love to compare ourselves to one another. So today we're going to talk about how to avoid that comparison trap, what pulls us into the big comparison trap, and what to do to stay in a healthy mindset. So Chloe, I know that you told me a story about being with a friend whose baby was the same age as James. Can you share that one?
Yeah. So when James was about 10 weeks old, I was just in the thick of it. He was very colicky. He had some allergies that I was trying to figure out. So I was on an elimination diet. And truthfully, there were three different categories of food that I needed to eliminate. And I was on number two. And it was the third one that was the main issue. So I was just like in the middle of it. He was not a good sleeper. I was in a sleep regression. I was in the 4 month one, but it was at 3.5. So I didn't know that's what it was. So I just was struggling. And my maternity leave was kind of coming to an end. So I was just getting panicky. And then I went and met one of my friends and oh my gosh, her baby just felt like this magic baby to me. Like at one point during hanging out, James
and her
had,
baby's the same age, right?
Yeah, same age. So he slept great. He had no allergies, no colic or anything. And at one point, I'm just like bouncing James, trying to get him to nap because we'd been together for a couple hours, and she just places her baby in this rocker, and he just, oh, because James doesn't take a passy or anything. Like he just doesn't like it. She just put the passy in his mouth and her baby just put himself to sleep. And I'm like, why?
Oh, yeah. It's hard to be like in person and side by side and seeing that it's hard to not compare in that case for sure. When you guys see other moms doing things differently or maybe what you think might be better, does it make you doubt your own choices? Is it more about the choice or what does that comparison voice tell you? Is it more like you should be doing this differently or it's you, you're the problem?
Well, I walked away from that being like, what am I doing wrong? You know, I was really, the sleep was the biggest thing. That was like, why doesn't my baby sleep? And truthfully, I mean, he was about 3 weeks from completely changing his sleeping patterns. Like he's a decent sleeper now. But he was like right on the edge of like, kind of, I think it just came with age. Like he just kind of developed the rhythm, you know, and daycare really helped him too. Mm-hmm. But my reaction was, what am I doing wrong?
Yeah. Chloe, your story was about comparing in real life, but you have been engrossed in social media in that world for a really long time. How are you dealing with the social media world as a new mom?
I've had to put up boundaries because I think, you know, when it's just you and your baby and the rest of the world is sleeping at 2 a.m. and I'm scrolling on TikTok and, you know, I come across these, you know, come with me, a day in the life of me and my, you know, 10-month-old or whatever, and this baby's doing all these things that my baby doesn't do. I'm like, oh my gosh, like, again, what am I doing wrong? So I just had to set up those boundaries because it's, you know, so we're inundated with this is how great my life is. And social media is a highlight reel, as we say all the time. So it's just not, if it's realistic for them, it doesn't feel realistic for me. So I'm going to stay away.
Yeah. And I think, okay, so I didn't have the social media problem, but I had 6 really good mom friends that their kids' youngest was the age of Megan. So I had the little ones, you know, and I would get together with them and I would look at everything they were doing. And I think, oh, my house needs to be clean like hers. Yeah. And oh, I need to be nurturing like her. What I didn't realize is they each had their own gift that they were good at. But in my head, I had to do all of them, even though I didn't realize, oh, well, her house is clean, but this one is not patient, you know? And so I think we do look, whether it's social media or our friends, and we think we have to do well everything that they do, but they are different people.
Yeah.
Nobody can do it all.
Yeah. So I used to just like look on, you know, TikTok or Instagram for different tips. If I was trying something new with James and, you know, recently we went on a trip and there were lots of things that I didn't know about because we flew, flying with an infant. And I purposefully was like, I'm not looking this up on social media. I will talk to my friends and get people who I trust and know and take their tips instead.
What is there to compare? I mean, so we're talking about comparing ourselves to other moms. What would you compare yourself to when it comes to travel tips?
Well, I think
like,
that,
is this not pretty basic black and white stuff?
I think that it's a little different because like, okay, Megan was one of the people I texted and said, hey, like tips on flying. And I just think, you know me and you know, I know you, I know the kind of advice you're going to give. But when I'm looking on Instagram or TikTok and I see this whole video, I don't know, I guess just like you watch their experience, right? And you instantly compare, is my experience going to be like that versus just advice?
And then if you travel and it's not like that, you feel like you did it wrong.
Well, yeah, and then I think that can lead to a lot of anxiety because then you're seeing all the instances that could go wrong and all the bad things that could happen. And you're like trying to prepare for every single situation that you could have.
Yeah.
And it's just too much. And then you're more worked up about it, more nervous about it, even though your kid, like James, was totally fine.
He was great. Yeah, he was great. Yeah.
You know, I think it's so funny that we're willing to take the advice of people online. Because think about it. If you were in the grocery store and your child started acting up or doing something and a lady behind you, a stranger, tapped you on the shoulder and said, oh, excuse me, but you really need to do this. You would look at her like...
Kick rocks, lady.
Yeah, exactly. But we're willing to go online and listen to some... Lady, we don't know. Tell us how to parent our kids. Yeah. It really doesn't make sense.
I think the difference with that is a lot of the times it's influencers and they're getting a lot of likes and you see, oh, they have 4,000 likes for this video. It must work for someone or why do they trust this person? You know, if all these people trust this person, then I should trust this person too. And so I think it's this problem with groupthink and being a sheeple and following someone.
Yeah.
That,
sheeple, I love that.
You know. Which, if anyone doesn't know what a sheeple is, it's sheep follow each other blindly. And that's what being a sheeple is.
Yeah.
Well, which is crazy because they don't have a degree or anything. Like it used to be you'd read a book or you'd go online and research somebody that you know was a doctor or something.
Well, and I think with comparison, though, we compare ourselves to the picture that gets put on social media or the video that's up. The real, whatever it is. We have not seen what led up to that. We have not seen what is right after it. We don't see what's out of the frame.
Yeah.
We're like, gosh, this house is gorgeous. Or she handled that so well with her child, or her child is perfectly dressed. Meanwhile, if the kid turns around, you know, no, it's not. So we only see what they want us to see, but we still compare it to our full life and sometimes the more negative sides of our lives.
Yeah.
Which I think is really dangerous. There was a study that was done. It was back in 2016, but obviously things have only escalated since then when it comes to social media. It found that the more moms compare themselves to others on social media, the less adequate they feel as parents, the more overloaded they felt in their role. And they also felt worse about their relationship with their spouse.
Oh.
So it's really, again, it's like we are just comparing our realness to their curatedness.
Yeah.
And we're comparing ourselves to too many. How could we live up to all these different women's gifts and talents?
With all different kids and everything.
Yeah. Yeah. On social media or in person, where do you think, or what are the areas that moms compare themselves the most?
Oh, I think, I mean, with lifestyle, with finances, with, how your body looks. I mean, I think there's so many different ways, and that's where I think it gets so overwhelming. And, you know, someone may throw their kid a super extravagant birthday and then moms feel bad because they're like, oh, I can't throw my kid that because I can't afford that. Or to be honest, my kid might not like that. But I mean, there's just different, so many different ways. And then like you see someone who just had a baby and they're like, wow, they look like that after they just had a baby. I definitely didn't look like that. And I still don't look like that. So I think there's so many different situations that, which I don't know why we do that. I don't know why we do that to ourselves. Why we do that to our friends.
Because guys don't do it.
No.
No.
They don't?
No. Well, maybe sometimes, but not to the extent.
I think it's more the physical for guys.
On social media, do you think they do?
No.
I think more like in real life. Maybe.
I just don't think they do it to the extent that women do it.
Absolutely.
For sure. And why is it a competition? Like, who cares? Like, why does it matter?
What are we winning?
Nothing. You're winning depression. Yeah. Like, I mean, it's not.
Yeah. It's true. And insecurity. I've found that with my friends at this stage, talking about comparing in person, it's more about our kids' achievements. And this is even among like my group of like really good friends. So it's not an unhealthy comparison necessarily, but we'll all be together. And one of my friend's kids struggles in area X, you know, and then mine struggle in area Y. And we're like, wow, I would really, sometimes I would rather have that struggle than this struggle. Or it's like when we finally talk about it, we realize that everybody has their thing. Mm-hmm. But when you're hearing this mom say, oh, well, he got straight A's, all you can think about is the fact that your kid is struggling in math or whatever. And then when I talk about how my kids are like really well behaved, that mom, all she can think about is all my kids do is fight and give me trouble. So it's like we... Even in healthy relationships, I think that we still find ways to say, this is why my family or my kids or my parenting isn't measuring up. And I think that's just so sad.
That we're almost having to justify our motherhood. we're doing this.
Yeah.
Is that a cultural thing? You think it's an American thing? Because, you know.
I do.
Yeah, I do too. Because I look at some countries like Scandinavian countries and what, they're not even having children. So they're not looking for their children to fulfill their calling or their, you know, their achievements.
Yeah. I know that when in the 4 years or so that I wasn't a single mom and that I was parenting alone. My ex-husband is very involved in my kids' lives. But in those years where I was not married and kind of a single mom, it was really hard. Like I have a lot of empathy for single moms because it's really hard to not compare your kids' lives to the lives of two parent families. Yeah. You see financially what they have. You see that they get to do these family vacations with all four or all six parents, or not six parents, but all, you know, the family members, you know, both parents.
Or dad dates.
Yeah. There's constantly that thought of like, what are my kids' lives like that is different from other families? And that is a brutal mindset to constantly be in.
Yeah.
And I don't, even comparing yourself to another single mom,
yeah.
you know, is she doing it better? Because a lot of single parents, I think they feel like they have to present how they're doing fine or they're doing well.
Yeah.
And then that just means you see that side of them. Have you guys ever felt pressure to live up to a certain image of motherhood? And on that part two of that question, is there anything you want other moms to know about the realities of parenthood for you?
So when I was at, I had a speech that I did, it was not called The Passionate Mom. It was called something else. And Mark, took the speech to his book person and he got a contract for me, long story short, that I never wanted to write a book. Mm-hmm. And writing that book, I cried all the way through because I did not think that my parenting or being a mom, my examples in there are not good, was that I was up to this, speaking to this. It was so humbling to think, well, who am I to write about this? Because take a pulse on my kids right now, you know? And at the time I had, our house had flooded and I was living in a condominium where my football playing son and his buddies were getting in trouble every day in the condominium because they were breaking every rule. So it was just causing like, what am I doing writing this book?
Yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah. Chloe, what about you as a mom of a little one? Do you feel like there's this pressure to live up to an image? And do you think other people might, when you post a picture of your happy little family, do you think other people might be comparing themselves to you?
You know, it's really funny. James kind of hit a milestone the other day that I wanted to send in a group of moms, but I stopped myself because I was like, there's a couple of kids in there that are really close in age. And I thought, oh, what if they compare, you know, their child to him? And I don't want to cause that, but I know these girls and these girls would be really
excited.
Send
it to your mom. Don't ever send it to your friends. Send it to your mom. You can tell your mom the bad and the good and she'll celebrate both.
Yeah. And I think to answer your question previously of like, do I feel pressure as a young mom? I think I felt pressure when James was a lot younger to be like, I love this. I'm having a great time. Cause it was like so hard. And I'm thankful for your example, Megan, of it's okay to not like certain stages of motherhood, like to not like the new world. No, I'm serious because it gave me permission to be like, I love my son more than anything in the world, but this isn't super fun all the time. Like, and I'm having a blast now, but it was hard in the early days.
I love five. Yeah. Five is really fun.
Love it.
You've got a few years. I think for me, I had a really great mom who was super creative and always doing really fun stuff. And I don't feel like that is necessarily my personality. I think one time we talked about, you're like, I can't really see you like playing dress up or whatever, you know? So I do feel that pressure. Like, we had the coolest birthday parties. They weren't like super expensive or anything, but like one time she made a castle out of refrigerator boxes. Aww, and like, yeah. I'm just not crafty. I have a friend who's really crafty and like that. And she throws the most beautiful birthday parties. And so I do feel this pressure of, especially because I am working too, mm-hmm. that I really want to be a fun mom. And sometimes I feel bad when I have to tell my oldest, like, hey, I can't play right now because I've got to get this work done. So I feel like I just put this pressure on myself of, I want to be this really fun, engaged mom that my kids remember playing with and having a good time with, and that I'm not always just the one that was working or doing chores or whatever. But at the same time, I am in a group text with a few other moms in the area that I live with, and it is very liberating. Because they will just throw the funniest scenarios out that are a hot mess, mm-hmm. and you just feel like less, you know, like you're a hot mess themselves. So I am thankful for those friendships, and that we will be like, guess what just happened to me? Yeah. And it's just an absolute nightmare.
So yeah, let's talk about how we can reframe comparison, or how we can get past it. Because I don't think it's fair to say, stop comparing yourself. No. It's just going to happen. Yeah. It's also not fair to say, get off social media, because we're going to be on social media. So are there some things that help you feel confident or reassured when you start comparing yourself, or things that you tell yourself?
No, I think I've just come to notice that I am who I am. I have my own strengths, and I want to make sure that I, you know, try to do other things and make sure that I'm fulfilling, you know, every area that I feel like I need to for my kids, and teaching them what they need to learn. But I've also really learned that I can't do everything, yeah. and to lay down my pride and ask my friends for help, because I live in an area where we don't have any family in town. So I've really learned, like, I know my friends' strengths, and I have to say, like, hey, I need help with this. Can you come help me? So, which that hasn't been super easy for me to do, because I don't really like to ask for help and just feel like I can do it all. But
yeah,
I know that I have to tell myself, since I'm kind of at like the midpoint right now, my kids are 11 and 12. And so I can see the end of the road ahead. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, it's not serving them and it's not serving me to be unhappy with the way I'm parenting or to compare myself to anybody else. It's I'm just wasting time if I'm looking at another mom or another family and saying, I want to be like them. Mm-hmm. Like, shoot.
No. One thing I would say too is, sometimes I feel like we compare kids because we're afraid that their behavior is a reflection of us and our parenting. And I feel like that's just such a dangerous trap, because you might be catching their kid on a really good day and your kid just on a really bad day. And it's not, I've had to remind myself, like, because my oldest has gotten in trouble at school before, and I just feel like his teachers probably think I'm just like the worst parent, and that I didn't discipline him for that or whatever. And then I have to remind myself, like, their teachers, they've seen it all, and it's not a reflection of me. Yes, I need to be the parent and step in and discipline him for that, but it's not a reflection of me. And I constantly have to remind myself of that, because I think that's a really dangerous trap. And whenever my friend's kids mess up, you know, it's not, I don't see it as, oh, they're terrible parents.
Yeah. Well, and if you take the credit, or if you take the beating when your kids do something wrong, does that also mean that you take the credit when they do something right? They're their own people.
Right.
Yeah. And good and bad.
I think it's something that just as women, we're going to battle our whole lives, and you just have to be aware of it. I was on a walk with my friend the other day, and she was born and raised in Tampa. She knows everybody. And I work, and I work a lot, and I have a big family. I have a lot of kids. So I'm pretty busy, just work and friends, close friends and family. And I was walking with her, and I kid you not, she had people calling out their windows. They were driving by, hey, Jan, dinner's at six, you know, waving to everybody. She knew everybody. And I was like, this is my neighborhood we're walking in. She knows more people than I do. And for a minute, I felt like I need to be a better neighbor. And then I work.
Yeah.
We all have a different path. And I think that's the hard thing to do is stay laser focused on our path with our family or our calling and not to look at somebody else's path and think, oh, I should be doing more of that. No, because we all have different capacities and abilities and callings. Yeah. And
And we hope that listening to the iMom podcast gives you confidence that you don't have to be anyone else because you are the right mom for your kids. And we'd love to hear from you. So you can send us a message on Instagram or on Facebook. And thank you for listening. Thanks for listening to the iMom podcast. iMom is the motherhood program of the nonprofit organization Family First. Along with our fatherhood program, All Pro Dad, we exist to help you love your family well. Subscribe to our daily email, the iMom Minute, by going to imom.com/subscribe and get tons of great ideas, insight, and inspiration. The iMom podcast is hosted by me, Abby Watts, along with Susan Merrill, Megan Tigner, and Chloe Blumenthal.
As we wrap up today, I want to share something that's important to us here at iMom. We believe that every child deserves to know the love of a mom and a dad. We hope you believe the same thing and might even be willing to take an extra step to change a child's life. Around the country, but especially in the state of Florida where iMom is based, there's a pressing need for medical foster care parents. These foster parents provide crucial support to children with complex medical needs. To be a medical foster care parent, you don't need a medical background. We've partnered with local community-based care agencies and the Florida Department of Children and Families who provide comprehensive training. If you can offer the vital medical assistance these children need, along with compassionate care in a family environment, you're prepared to be a true medical foster care champion. Learn more by visiting mfcfloridahealth.gov. That's mfc.floridahealth.gov.